God. God is good. I know that y'all can do better than that. God is good. And he's good all the time. I thank God for everything that he's doing. And I want to welcome you into Parish Christian Center this morning. And I want y'all to repeat after me, because you know what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And there's some things that you need to tell yourself today. So let's begin to speak faith on the count of three. One, two, three. I am going through this valley. I am going to make it. Not only am I going to survive, but I'm going to thrive. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to tell you something. As your pastor, I want to look at each and every single person. We've decided that we're going to begin to broadcast live again because I want to bring hope and peace to a community that perhaps we're concerned about many different things, but I want to look each and every one of you in the face, in the eye, and I want to tell you it doesn't matter the problem that you face. You are getting through the battle. God is walking you through the valley. He is putting you to a place that is a sure foundation. And if the devil has come into your heart, into your mind, and has tried to make you feel like you're not going to make it, I want to tell you that you're making it right now. I want to tell you that you're going through. God is going to get you to the other side of the valley of the trial. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by his Spirit, says the Lord. And so you know what? Build your life around every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because every word that he says is for you. Every word that he says can happen for you. God's not a man that he should lie. Everything that he says is true. If you can get that word and plant it in your heart, it'll come up. It'll come up. And so what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to pray that the word fall exactly the way that it should fall in your heart. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for every single person, God, that's watching this message, Lord, that's hearing it in this building. God, I speak peace right now in Jesus' name where there's been an unrest. God, I speak wholeness where the devil has tried to come in and steal from your children. God, I speak to every person, God, that they don't feel well. Perhaps they're watching this live right now. God, in Jesus' name, I speak a healing into that body right now. And I speak and I tell that body to line up with the word of God that says that by your stripes we are healed. Lord, I thank you for every person battling addiction in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you're the chain breaker. God, I speak to addictions today and I tell them to fall in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for everything that you're going to do in this service. And God, let your word fall on every heart. God, where there needs to be conviction, God, let conviction come. Lord, where there needs to be comfort, let it come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, it's such a blessing to be your pastor. It's a blessing to get to stand behind the pulpit this morning. For those of you that know me, I'm not very good at standing in one spot. But you know what? The word of God is going to come forth, whether I'm here, there, or up in your face. But because of the coronavirus, I'm going to respect your personal space. Now, I got news for you. Once this is over with, I'm not going to respect your personal space. I'm going to be all up in your business. And that's just how it goes. But, you know, most times I preach out of the overflow of what's going on in my life. And I do that because, Brother John, I can't preach about something that I don't know about, but I can preach and I can minister on what I know. There's nothing worse than somebody trying to teach you something they don't know themselves. Can I get an amen? And so this week, how many of you, by the showing of your hands, you've had some rough few weeks? It's been rough. How many of you Now, we're going to get a little bit personal because I did say I wasn't going to be all up in your face, but I didn't say I wasn't going to be meddling because I'm a meddler. How many of you can say, you know, over the past few weeks, there's been some tears that I've cried that only God knows. Only God knows about those hardships. Only God knows about those stresses and those broken places. And you know, Wednesday night, as I laid my head down, I put my head on my pillow, and the tears just began to come. Sometimes you just need a good cry. Sometimes you just need a good moment where you just say, God, I'm not going to hold it back, but God, I just give you this grief right now that's trying to come over me. God, I give you the sadness, God, that's tried to creep into my life. Lord, I give it all to you. And as I sat there Wednesday night in my bed, I said, God, you're the only God that I know that will wipe away every single tear. God, you're the only God that I know that can come up in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a battle, and proclaim victory before it's done been won. Let me tell you something. God knows every tear that you've cried. He knows every place in that heart where you're troubled and you're concerned and you're irritated. God knows to the very fullest extent. He knows more than you do. And so this morning, I want to minister to that person. I want to minister to that heart where you say, you know what, I've been troubled. I've cried more tears here lately. I'm going to talk about tears this morning because you know what? I believe that God is wiping tears from his children's faces. This is not the end. This is the best days. The best days are yet to come, and I believe it. I declare it, and I receive it. If I've ever seen anything good, it's nothing compared to what I'm going to see. Still yet to come. And so I want to minister to you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. Let's go to Psalms chapter 56. We are going to look at verse 8. And you know, many people, I tell this and I've said it my whole life, I really am not a reader. I read the Bible and that's it. I have no enjoyment out of reading. Some people do that to relax. And you know what? That would stress me out. I don't know how that relaxes people, but it doesn't relax me. It makes me feel like I have one more thing to do, you know. But my husband and I'm blessed to have Pastor Jeremy. He's the best man I know. Amen. He is a sweet, sweet man. Now, he loves to read. And, you know, God bless him. Because when I want to know about something, what I do is I say, honey, I want you to read such and such, and you figure that out for me. And then he'll give me a little update. That's usually how it works. Well, there was a book several years ago that I had an interest in. I said an interest. Now, I didn't want to read that book, but I wanted to know about it because you know what? It sounded like something I was interested in. And I told my husband about that, and he said, well, here's what we're going to do, sweetie. We're going to get that on an audio book. I'm liking the sounds of this already. Okay. I'm hearing it. I can hear pretty well until it's my children, and then I just zone them out. And so we go to St. Louis a couple times a year. That's where Pastor Jeremy's from. And so we began to play the audio version of The Shack. Now, that is a very controversial book. Some people say, oh, you know, look here. I am not a politically correct person. If you're going to ever watch me on Facebook Live, you're going to know that probably instantaneously. But let me tell you something. I haven't come here for brownie points. I've just come to spread the word. And there was something in that book that I don't think that I'll ever forget. And there was a character in that book, and that character represented the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, there was a man, and he was crying, and he was telling the Holy Spirit all of his brokenness. And the Holy Spirit had a vessel. And it says that he went up to this man's cheek, and as a tear fell in that vessel, the Holy Spirit had that tear. I want to tell you that in the Word of God, it says that God has felt every tear. It says that he holds every tear. So I'm going to read it to you, because any pastor that will stand behind a pulpit should be able to direct you to the Word of God that they're preaching. If it's not in the Word, it's false. If it's not in the Word of God, it's not true. Psalms chapter 56, verse 8. You have kept record of my days of wandering. You have stored my tears in your bottle. And not only has God stored them, but he has counted each and every single last one of them. Psalms chapter 56 and 8. We're going to read it again. You have kept record of my days of wandering. You have stored my tears in your bottle, and you've counted each of them. You've counted each of them. I want to talk to that person today that you say, God, I'm hurting. God, I'm concerned. Lord, I've got a broken place in my life. Look here, I've cried more tears in the past 6 months than I think that I've ever cried in my life. Why? Because this thing here is winding down, and it gets hard sometimes. It gets difficult sometimes, and it gets heavy. Y'all ever felt a little heavy? You think, oh my word. Now, I'm not talking about weight. I didn't have any, nobody was amen in that. I'm talking about your soul. You get some heaviness of soul. And so let's go to Psalms chapter 147 and verse 3. And I thank God for everything, every place that he's mending. Every place where we say, God, if you don't help this situation, Father, I'm in trouble. If there's places where you're agitated about. Anybody, have you had more agitation here lately? Boy, I have. I have. Have you had more irritability here lately? I have. More stress, more worry, more anxiety. Look here. God said, I'm going to set the captives free. God never intended for you to be held captive by that thing. And yet, many believers are in captivity in their own mind. So Psalms 147 in verse 3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted. I want to speak to that person, and you say, you know what, I've got a broken heart this morning. There's some things where I'm broken up about. There's some places in my life I don't know if I'll ever be whole again. See, have you ever felt that where you think, I don't know if I can ever be happy again after this. I don't know if I can ever be whole again after this. Let me tell you something, and I don't mean this to offend. God's going to make it up to you. The place that you feel in that place where it feels broken, God's coming into that place. And he's doing amending, and he's healing. He's healing. See, God cares whether or not you're brokenhearted. When I was 19 years old, I had gone through some awful things. I had gotten in the wrong relationship. And let me tell every single person out there, you get up in the wrong relationship, it'll eat your lunch. It'll eat your breakfast. It'll eat your supper. It'll eat your snacks. You don't want to be in a relationship that God did not ordain. It'll cost you. What's it going to cost you? Everything. It'll cost you years. Well, I had done that. I'd gotten in a relationship that I shouldn't have been in. And it broke me to every core that I was. And I remember, see, many times, can you look back at some of the most heartbreaking things in your life and remember details about them? I don't even remember what I ate for supper last night, but I still remember driving in my cherry red Trailblazer, going down to my parents' house where I still lived in that moment. And I remember very distinctly the moment that my heart broke over that situation. And I remember the devil saying, I just broke your heart. And I spent the last several months, in that situation. And I was trying to find something that could heal that brokenness. One day I came into this church and I sat right there in that front row and God said, if you'll stand up and you'll give me the sacrifice of praise, raise your hands, Kelly, because I'm going to send some peace. I said, God, I haven't felt peace, and if that's what's going to bring me some peace, I'll do it. And I stood up at 19 years old, and I said, God, I'll never do this again. God, heal this brokenness in me. And I stood up that morning, I raised my hands, and I gave all of that hurt to a loving, precious, gracious God. And that peace fell off, that hurt, that discouragement, that brokenness. See, why are we talking about this today? Because there's a lot of people that are hurting. There's a lot of people that you're going through something right now. And what I want to tell you is you're going through it. You are going through it. You will not stay in that place where you say, God, I feel like I'm stuck. No, make your mind up. You're going to pull yourself up. You're going to get up one more time than what you fall down, and you're going to walk through it. And the God of all gods, he's walking through that with you. He's bringing you to the other side of that. And so it says, he heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. He binds them up. When I was a little girl, I've always been that kid. I was into everything. Literally everything. And those of you that have known me my whole life, you know I was into everything. And I used to have this toy, and his name was Froggy. And he was a little ride-on toy, and I would get on that thing. It was green. I don't think it was a frog, but that's what I called him because he was green. And I would get on that thing and rock. And that was the most non-obnoxious thing that I could do, so my mother let me play on that for a really long time, but I outgrew that thing, and they put it in the barn. Well, that was a bad move. I wasn't finished with that. So I irritated my mother to the point she about had a nervous breakdown, and I said, I want that toy out of that barn, Mama. And I just annoyed her till I knew she'd go do it. Relentlessly annoyed her. Well, finally, she said, okay, I'm going to go get Froggy out of the barn, but I don't want you coming up into this barn. This barn is dangerous. Well, I didn't listen. I went up into the barn, and I was about 4 or 5 years old. The craziest thing, but I ran my hand across a feeding trough. Now, they don't make feeding troughs like that anymore. They're safer today. They weren't safer back then. They had rough edges. And as I ran my hand across that, it sliced me from one end to the other. And here's Froggy, and Froggy's all dirty, and here's me, and I'm bleeding like a stuffed pig. And my mother, who is an RN, was flipping out. She goes, what did you do? Did you go in the barn? No. No. No, I wouldn't go in the barn that you said not to go in. Sure didn't. She goes, well, what happened over here? And I looked at my arm, and I'm not a blood person. I said, oh, my God, I went in the barn, Mama. And I just lied. I'm sorry. Let me tell you something. I remember what she did. She took me, she drug me from outside to the bathroom, And that bathroom that they got up in their house is tiny. And here Mama and me was over that sink, and she opened up that wound, and she began to scrub that wound. And then she did something, and I'll never forget that. She took that arm of mine, and she smashed it so hard. I ain't never had a smashing like that in my life. I was thinking, my God, woman, what are you trying to do to me? I'm like 4 years old. I mean, this has got to be child abuse on some part, some end. She said, Ange, we got to take this kid to the doctor. She done sliced her arm because she went in a barn that I told her not to be in. Mikey, I went to the doctor just a few times when I was growing up. Look here. That was like the one out of the three times I went to the doctor when I was a kid. And he looked at this arm. He said, Millie, I don't know what you did to this kid. Normal kids would have needed stitches, but you did a phenomenal job of binding up that wound. What did she have to do to get that blood to stop? What did she have to do? She had to apply pressure. She had to apply pressure. Was it painful? Yes, I'm 35 years old and I still remember that pain. Hear what I'm saying. See, the Holy Spirit wants to come down and talk to somebody right now. What was the moral of that story? The pressure that was applied. God knows every tear. He knows it. He's seen them. He has felt them. He has counted them. He has collected them. When the devil comes in and tries to make you feel like you serve a God that doesn't understand you, I want to tell you, you serve a God that understands every single depth of the pain and heartbreaking that you're in. Every bit of stress, God, is this going to work out? He knows. He's felt it with you. And I want to tell you something. There are times in your life where you go through things and they're uncomfortable. See, was mommy a bad mommy? No. She knew what it took to bind the wound. There are things that I have gone through over this past year, attacks of the enemy, orchestrated things from the enemy, Satan. The way that God dealt with those is he applied some pressure in areas of my life. And what did that happen? It bound up the wounds that I was having over those situations. Look here. They'll serve a purpose. God never wastes a hurt. He never wastes anything. Now, a couple years later, Kelly Mae was in kindergarten, and I was having trouble knowing left from right. And my teacher was like, I don't know. This is the simplest thing, and I don't know why this kid can't understand this. Well, let me tell you something else. At 35 years old, I still don't understand, and it just dumbfounds me, and it's going to make me look stupid. I don't understand when somebody goes, now, I want you to go north of Walmart and then turn south and then towards the west over here. You're going to see, and I'm like, okay, now look here, man. I'm at Walmart. Which way are we going? And don't say north or south or east or west, because that means nothing. But I was having trouble in kindergarten learning left from right. And my mother, who is a very well-educated woman, it was stressing her out. And then one day she had an epiphany. She said, Kelly, look at your hand. There's a scar there. She said, every time your teacher asks you to differentiate your left hand from your right, I want you to remember that your scar is always on the left hand. Till this day, when somebody talks about left or right, and I'm giving directions because this is how my directions go. Okay, you're going to be at Walmart, and here's the highway, and you're going to go left. And then when I say left, I always look at this scar. Because to this day, that was embedded in me. And I want to tell you something. God's here to heal wounds today. God's here to comfort you today. Yes, child, I've counted every tear. I've felt every tear with you. I'm working on the problem. I'm helping you in that grief. See, God cares. God cares what you're going through. Not only does he care, but praise the Lord, he has a solution. He's bringing you to a place. When you get uncomfortable, I want you to remember, God has to bind your wound. He has to. When you bind a wound, you're going to apply some pressure. There's places in my pastorship and I have felt so much pressure. And I've been mad at God and I've said, God, why are you allowing this? And he said, Kelly, for your own good, I'm going to bind a wound, Kelly, to the point you'll never know it was there. What you're going through today, make no mistake, you are going through it. God is going to bring you on the other side of your battle. And when he does, you're going to know that it was God. You're going to have a deeper love for the Lord. You're going to have a stronger faith. And you're going to know just how much he loves you. Because God really, truly loves you today. And so it says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and he calls them each by name. Now we're talking about stars here. So what do you think that he feels about you? He tells us, look at the lilies of the valley. They're not worried about how I'm clothing them, yet they're clothed. Look at all these things. Look at the birds of the air. Look here. How do you think God thinks about us? He's named these stars. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. You ever been through a storm that you did not understand? You think, God, why am I going through this? God, I didn't do anything to deserve to be in this trial. There are trials we create because of bad choices. And then there are trials that just come into our lives, and we didn't create them in the least bit. Either one, God's working those things out. He's working them out day by day, and he understands. His understanding doesn't have a limit. Aren't we glad of that? I'm glad because there's things that happen that people do, and I don't understand why they did them. You know? You ever have somebody in your family and they go off and pull a crazy, and you think, now, why did you do that? That doesn't make any sense. I tell my kids sometimes, the next time you feel like doing something that ignorant, I want you to say that plan to yourself out loud. And if it doesn't sound good out loud, it's not a good idea. Let's go to the next place this morning. John chapter 11, verse 32. And I want to set the scene. I want to set the scene here. We've got Lazarus. And Lazarus has sisters. Ain't nothing better than some sisters most of the time. Casey Renee is back there looking at me like, yeah, I said most of the time. I mean, sometimes they'll drive you nuts. But most of the time, having sisters is good. And so Lazarus, he had him some sisters. And I have a feeling that these sisters got on each other's nerves because multiple times throughout the Bible, one's tattling on the other. Lord, look at her. She's not doing a darn thing to get ready for this supper. Can you tell her to get in here and help me out? That sounds like, I've said that to some of my sisters. Look here, girlfriend, it's Thanksgiving. What you doing in there titty-chatting? It's time to get in here in this kitchen and work. So here's Lazarus, and he's passed away. Now, Jesus dearly loved Lazarus, dearly loved him, and he loved this family. And so Jesus comes, and he's dead, and everybody is in grief. They're in mourning. They're crying. And it says in verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and she saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? Come and see. And Jesus wept. And when pastors get up here and we say, God understands your weeping and your mourning and your grieving, he does. Because he felt them. Jesus felt that. It's the shortest scripture in the verse, in the verses, in the Bible. But it's so relevant. Would you want to serve a God that couldn't have compassion on you when you're in trouble? When you're crying? How many of you, let's get a poll. I don't care if it's my worst enemy. If they start crying, I'm going to cry with them. I don't like to see people crying because I don't like to see people sad. I don't like to see people upset and hurting. Neither does God. It says when he saw them, he wept. He wept with them. Now later on, we see in verse 36, it says, then the Jews said, see how he loved them. See, when you're going through the worst thing that you've ever been in, when you're going through a trial, when you're stressed on your job, when you're stressed in your marriage, when you're stressed in your family, when you're stressed raising your children, God knows that. Not only does he know it, he's with you. And I want you to take a step back when you feel that overwhelming coming over you, and I want you to see how he loves you. See to the extent that he's gone to show his love to you because he loves you dearly. John chapter 14. Now we later read that he just flat out raised Lazarus from the dead. I love when it says that the moment in the middle of all the grieving, in the middle of all the pain, when Mary saw Jesus, she ran to him. That's a step. That's a step. Don't get so lost in the trouble, lost in the battle, that you forget to run to Jesus. What did he do with her? He wept with her. He felt her pain with her. He was compassionate and moved in his heart with her. And so in John chapter 14, verse 27, it says here, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Look here, anybody ever give you something? And they wanted to act like they wanted to take it back. How well did that set with you? Not good. Not good at all. God doesn't give like the world gives. God doesn't forgive how the world forgives. He says, forgive as I forgave you. There are people under the sound of my voice, and God's telling you to forgive that person, to forgive the people. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And it's the hardest thing to do. There's something about forgiveness that our flesh makes us want to feel like when we forgive them, we're letting them off of the hook for what they did to us. That's just a lie that the devil wants you to believe. Nobody gets away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything. Amen. So knowing that, forgive. Make that choice to live in forgiveness. Why? So you can go on. So you can move on in your life. Sometimes in my life when I've looked and I've said, God, I feel stuck, it's because I had not forgiven. I had to call somebody after almost 3 years. It took 3 years for my hard-headed self to just do the right thing. I had to say, I'm sorry. That's the two hardest words ever. I'm sorry. I did you wrong. I was wrong. Can you forgive me? How can I make it right? See, a lot of times the devil will want to come in and he'll want to make you feel like you don't have to forgive them. They did this, this, and this to you. Look here. You do. You do have to forgive. On the other side of forgiveness is breakthrough. On the other side of that letting somebody off of the hook and saying, you know what, I'm going to forgive you and I'm not going to bring up what you did. How did God forgive you? You ever ask God for some forgiveness for some stuff that you did and it was terrible? Have you ever done something terrible and you thought, I hope to God nobody else finds out about this, Lord, but will you please forgive me? Look here. God's forgiven me for some stuff, for some shenanigans that I knew was wrong when in the middle I was doing it. And I've had people do less things to me than I've done to the Lord and held it against them for years. You want your best life? Flip a page. Do a game changer. Be one of the few people that will just forgive people. And don't ever bring it up. So it says here, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives, so don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. This is a troubling time, but you know, as I sat in my seat today, I told the leadership in the back in our leadership meeting, and I said, I want to tell y'all something. We're going through. We're making it through. We're getting over to the other side of this. This is just the beginning of what God is going to do. Yes, I understand that we've all had hardships, but I want y'all to make your minds up that you're walking through this storm. See, let me tell you something. Most of the battle is in your mind. Most of the battle is in your mind. If you'll get your mind to line up with the Word of God that says the victory's already won, if you'll get your mind to line up to the Word that says, you know what, if you'll seek me with all of your heart. See, a lot of us, we want somebody to play Dr. Phil to us, and then we don't want to do anything about it. No, right now is the time for believers to step up to the plate. It's not the time to shrink back. I'm so proud of this sweet couple that's just had a baby. Look here. They just set the bar really high. Giving birth on a Monday and being here on a Sunday. They've always been that way. That little girl over there, she has had my back when very few have had my back. I know it. And I don't take it for granted. Make your mind up today. God, I know you've seen every tear. God, hold those tears, God, and make them count however you can. See, he holds them. He knows our struggles. He knows when we feel like we're in a mess by ourselves. He knows when we feel like the mess ain't never going to get any better. He knows when we feel like this is going to be how it is all the time. It's always going to be like this. No, it's not. It's not. It's not permanent. This is a temporary thing. You're walking through your battle. You're walking through your struggle. Settle it in your heart. The woman with the issue of blood, it took her 12 years. But after 12 years, she said to herself, you have to get to the point where you come to yourself and you have a little staff meeting with yourself, and you look at yourself and you say, now self, right now, in the name of Jesus, this ends today. And she settled it. For some of y'all watching, some of y'all here, it's a matter of settling it. You think I'm trying to settle it, but then I kind of go back and forth on some things. Look here. It's time to settle some things. Settle them. What did she do? She settled them. She said, here's what I have to do. I have to get close enough to him to touch the hem of his garment. Because when I do, when I touch that hem, I'm getting healed in Jesus' name. See? You better get a little conversation with yourself and tell yourself, look here, here's how it's going to be. I'm not going to be like the world. I'm not going to feel what the world feels. I'm a child of God. God tells me in his word what I can have. And by golly, it doesn't matter what I did yesterday. It matters what I choose to do today. And today I choose the victory that he already carved out for me. So God, what does it take for me to claim that? I'm going to get my big girl pants on and I'm going to walk towards the victory. I'm not going to pitch a tent in the middle of this valley. God, I'm walking through it right now. Make your mind up. Make your mind up. You ever took a kid to the toy aisle at Walmart? I can't think of anything more punishing than that. Especially my kids. Ugh. When I really want some punishment, that's what I do. They are indecisive. Well, Colton's the worst. He'll get three things, and then I tell you what, they look exactly alike. And in some way, they're slightly different. And the other day, we had a toy picked out. From the toy aisle to the next aisle, he had a discussion with another little boy. It took me 30 minutes to get him to determine what he wanted. Then we pass by this other little boy, and they have a little discussion. And the little discussion proceeded to tell my, the little kid told my kid, well, you know you're getting a bad guy. And he looked at me. He said, Mama, I can't have a bad guy. We're going back. I'm going to go back and get a good guy. What? You tell that kid to keep his mouth shut the next time you see him. I picked that toy up and I said, baby, this looks like the best guy in the toy aisle. This is a good guy. He's going to fight off all the bad guys. No. That kid said that was a bad guy, so we couldn't get that one. Let me tell you something. Stop worrying about what everybody has to say about you. Why? Look at these pretty lips up here that I just put new lipstick on. It's irrelevant. Irrelevant. Don't listen to all your critics. Don't let them get up in there and mess your day up. I'm preaching to me. What does God say about you? Doesn't he say that you're the apple of his eye? Doesn't he say, that's my kid and I love that kid? Doesn't he say, I've called them by name, I've chosen them, I've set them apart? He does. There's some people in here. Stop listening to what everybody's got to say that's negative about you, because you're a good person. God's got you. God's got you. And when you get in those places in your life where you're struggling, I want to reassure you today, God knows. And not only does he know, but he's with you. When you cry and you feel pain in your soul, God knows that. And he feels that with you. But not only does he feel it with you, he scoops you up and he says, now come on, baby. We're going to get through this. And he just walks you through it. He'll walk you through it. And he'll do that over and over in your life. So last place for me this morning is Revelation chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 4. How many Facebook fans do we have up in here? Y'all love you some Facebook? I love Facebook. It's the cheapest form of entertainment that I have. And there's times where I'm like, I really need to get off of this Facebook. And then I look over and I'm thinking, you know what? I would have to pay for better entertainment than this. I mean, this is free and it's entertaining. But I like the thing in Facebook where it says, show somebody, and they're crouched over and they're looking. Which book of Revelation are we in today? How many of you feel like that? I do too. And so Revelation chapter 21. Verse 4, the last place for me now. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And I want to tell you, our momentary troubles and struggles are not even compared to the glory that we're going to. In this life, will you have trials and tribulation? Yes, you will. I'm here this morning to encourage you and to tell you to be of good cheer, because you serve a God that has overcome each and every single battle that you could ever face. He's already won them. Why is this relevant to you? Because there are times where the devil wants to make you feel like nobody understands you, that you're alone. And I want to tell you that you're not alone. I want to tell you that God understands you, that God can relate to you. And baby, I want to tell you that God is working. He is working on your behalf. He knows that issue before it was ever even an issue. And what I would like to see, you know, there were things about the ministry that I never understood until I became a pastor. It's amazing, Melissa, how you could be in the ministry your whole life and there still be things that you don't understand until you're the boss. And I used to think, why is Dad so grieved over what's happening in Sally Sue's life? I mean, it's not him. Let me tell you something. When y'all struggle, I struggle. When y'all are upset, I'm upset. When y'all are heartbroken, I'm heartbroken. When somebody done something to you, I was sitting talking to one of you this week and they were telling me something somebody did to them. I said, do what? Where are they at? I want to see y'all go into these holidays, and I want to see you have the best Thanksgiving that you've ever had. I want to see you have the best Christmas that you've ever had. Not that you don't have some issues going on in your life. Not that you don't have troubles that you're worried about. But I want to tell you today, God is working them out. We don't have to know how. We don't have to know the logistics. We have to settle. He is. It's a matter of settling. If you're there today on Facebook land, if you're in my audience right now, and you say, God, I've cried more tears here lately than what I want to cry. And God, I want to move on, and I want to be able to be happy and have joy again. Lord, I want to be able to face the day and not feel that anxiety coming up over that situation. I'm going to ask you to stand because I believe that God is meeting you in that place where you're asking Him for help. I believe that He's meeting you in the place where you've said, God, I want to be having joy again. God, I want to be happy again. I want to enjoy my family again. See, isn't it funny how the devil will make you feel all these things and then you can't even enjoy your family? God wants you to enjoy your life. Enjoy your family. Let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you see every single person, God, that's asking you for help right now. Lord, I thank you that you're walking down each and every single aisle. Lord, where there's been an unrest, God, I thank you for peace right now. Lord, I'm asking you to dry every tear. God, and I thank you right now that you have the answer to every problem that we face. Lord, I thank you right now that people that are having trouble sleeping at night, God, I thank you that you give your beloved rest. And I pray that as they lay their heads down tonight to rest, that you give them perfect peace. And we thank you, God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We will be here at 5:30 to hear Pastor Jeremy tonight.